It's so good to be back out in God's house again this morning. And I tell you what, I just absolutely just love to be in God's house whenever we have the opportunity. You know what? I am thankful whenever it said, let us go to the house of the Lord. You know something? Every January, by our Constitution in this country, the President has to give a State of the Union address. It's something that he's required to do. I really did not realize that until I started studying about this. You know what? Something I want to talk to you about today. I want to give our State of the Church address today, and I want to go with that. If you want to, I want you to turn to Ephesians, the second chapter, if you would, please. Ephesians, the second chapter, beginning with the 19th verse. And it says, now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I come with thanksgiving in my heart, Lord. I thank you, Father, for the opportunity, Lord, that we have one more time to be in your house, Lord. To be, Lord, in your presence, Lord, to be in the fellowship with these people, Lord, this morning. I pray, Father, that, Lord, that you would open up this scripture this morning, Lord. I pray, Father, that the word would go out the way that you would have it to go out. And, Lord, we will give you the praise and the glory for it all. And we ask it all in Jesus' name and amen. The last estimation that I had in this country, there was over 110 million people that go to church every Sunday. 110 million people go to some form of church or go to some form of synagogue, go to something every week in this country. More people go to church on a regular Sunday morning than attend every sporting event in this country over the entire year. Did you know that? And more people go to church. And I think I've said this before. For many of the people, though, they have no idea why they go to church. Some of them go because it's tradition. Some of them go because of the guilt. And some of them go because it's just out of habit that some people go to church. Why would you get out of bed? And I've asked this question to you before. And I ask it, and I'm serious when I ask you this. Why would you get up out of bed to go to church to be in the house of God this morning? Why do we do that? And that's a question everybody in here has to answer for themselves. You have to answer that for yourself this morning. Why did we build this building? Why did we build it? And that's a question all of us have to answer for ourselves there. Why did we build this building this morning? What purpose do we have in building this building here this morning? And I'm going to get to my point of the state of the church here this morning in a little bit. Just kind of like in our Constitution, it requires the President to do it. And I believe, you know what, we need to give a state of the church address. As preachers, we need to stand up behind pulpits once in a while and give a state of the church address. And what I mean is, why is the church in the state and in the shape that it's in as we look around today? Why is it? The Bible says that God created the church for his purpose. Am I right? He created to fulfill the purpose in our lives. That's why. Listen to me. Whenever we are saved and we have the desire to be in God's house, there is a purpose that God has for us to fulfill in our lives whenever we attend church. I believe that. Wholeheartedly, I believe that. You know what? And I believe fully in Driftwood Church, we always need to be part of that purpose that God has put out there for the church as a whole. Praise God. You know what? Every individual in here, every individual of Driftwood Church, praise God, we have a purpose to be part of God's church. Amen? We need this church, number one, to continue in unity. I believe that. Ephesians 2:20 and 21, like I said, and we are built upon the foundation through the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom are all the buildings fitly framed together, groweth into a holy temple unto the Lord. The church of Jesus Christ draws us together as a church here this morning. Do you agree with that?
Amen.
If you are saved, we are bound together in a way that nothing else can bind people together. I believe that. You know what? We can have whatever we want to say. We can do whatever we want to do. But praise God, if we are part of the family of God, we are bound here this morning at this church to do something and come here to do it in unity and to continue to do it in unity that Jesus Christ has set up for us. As you look around this physical building here that you see here this morning, not very long ago, there was nothing here, am I right? There was nothing here. You know what? The two reformers that were put in this wall at one time, they were someplace else in a lumber yard. Maybe they weren't even cut at some time down the road. The block that you see out here wasn't here. If you look at these windows, and I can go on and on, every bit of everything that's been done in this church at one time was not here. I'm here to tell you this morning that you are not here by accident this morning. God, just like that everything that's been put into this church, you know what, through great planning, through great vision, it was done. God has got a vision and a purpose for everyone in here this morning, and you are not here this morning by accident. Let me say it again. God has taken every piece in here that is you this morning. He has brought you together this morning at Drift Run Church. And I praise God for everybody. And you know what? He has fitly joined us together to be the church that we need to be. And praise God, if we are here in unity this morning, if we continue in unity, praise the Lord this morning, the church will be everything and more that it can be. Amen. I believe that. You know what? He has taken, and there's some of you, he has taken, you know what? If you look at these blocks out here, if you follow them down through, you're going to find out that they're fitly put together, and you know what? Some of them may be cut, some of them may be sanded off, you know, the wood may be cut at different lengths, the walls may be, but praise God, when everything is joined together, you get what you have here this morning. You are here this morning. Some of you have been cut to certain lengths. Some of you have been maybe ground down a little bit. Some of you have maybe been cut to a certain thing. But praise God, you are here this morning to do what God wants us to do. And if we keep doing that, I believe if we keep doing it in unity, we will be where God wants us to be and continue to be where God wants us to be. I say this morning. People will come and go. In our church, we have seen that. And guess what? I am fine with that. I want people, if they're not comfortable here, if something's going on in their lives, if they don't want to be here, I want them to be someplace in church. You understand that? Someplace else in church. Why do I say that? Because I say that because of this reason right here. Because we as a church have to believe the same things. We have to mind the same things. And the Bible tells me, and I'm going to read some scripture, we have to speak the same things. Do you understand that? As a church, we need to continue in unity like that. And if we do not continue in unity like that, it will not happen. Do we understand that? Jesus takes every part, every stone, and he knocks it down. Listen to me. Isaiah 46, remember the former things. Those things of long ago, I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. I make known the end of the beginning from the ancient times that is still to come. I say, now get this, my purpose will stand. God's purpose will stand. And as long as Drift Run Church stands in unity, as long as Drift Run Church says the same things, that praise God, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please, and that is God speaking. And I'm here this morning to tell you, if we stand in unity, praise the Lord this morning, His purpose will be done. We're not just any building. Do you understand that? We are a church. We are a Drift Run Church. We are a church that is an independent church that believes in the Word of God, and we stand upon His Word. And if we come here and continue to stand upon God's Word, I'm here to tell you, in unity, we will do what God wants us to do. We will continue to do that. There are, like I said, there are going to be people that come and go. There are. And you know what? And I believe in Philippians 2:2. Fulfill ye my joy that ye be what? Like-minded. Having the same love, being of one accord and one of mind. Did you get that? We are to be like-minded as a church. If we want to continue, in the love and the unity, if we want to continue to grow, it has to be, we have to do it in one mind. Amen? Romans 15:6, that ye may be with one mind, and get this, one mouth. Did you understand that? We must be of one mind and one mouth, glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We must continue in one mind. We must continue with one heart, and we must continue with one mouth to speak out and to give praises to God and to do the things that God wants us to do as Drift Run Church. And I'm speaking specifically to Drift Run Church here this morning whenever I'm talking about the state of the church that I'm talking about. Because I believe it's without doubt we need to go. I believe Satan is coming against us. This is why I am talking the way that I am. I believe Satan's coming against us, and I believe he does not like what's happened here. And praise God, I believe that we need to continue down the path that we started out over in that little sanctuary over there. We need to bring it over here, and we need to continue in unity just the way that we did over there. Praise the Lord. For this church to continue to grow, everybody needs to be on the same page. Acts chapter 2 is the greatest example. If you turn over there, I'm going to read two scriptures to you. And I believe they need to be, and I believe these scriptures need to be marked down. As a church, we need to remember these scriptures. And you've heard them before. Acts chapter 2, the first verse, and then I'm going to read the 41st verse. But Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. That's important. Do we understand that? If we are here this morning, it said when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. I hope and pray that you come here this morning in one accord here in this place. I pray that you did that, wanting to see things happen, wanting to see people saved, wanting to see the church grow. I hope you come with that in your mind today. Then verse 41, it tells us this. Then they that gladly received the word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. In one day. But guess what? It didn't happen by happenstance. They come in one accord and one mind to come there to receive what God had for them. And I'm here to tell you this morning, did you come here this morning to receive what God had for you this morning? I hope you did. I hope you come with unity this morning. I hope you come here with one heart and one accord to receive what God has brought for you this morning. If you just come just to sit here to be entertained, you're not going to be, you may get entertained, you may enjoy the singing, I did, but praise God, did you get more out of the singing than just the singing? Did you get the message that was there? Did you come here this morning to be in unity, to receive what God has for you? There may be some that said, well, that was back then, Dave. That was just for the apostles. I'm here to tell you the God that served the apostles is the same God today.
Amen.
He didn't change. He has never changed. Do not let the devil lie to you and say God was just back then for them. He is not. God is still the God of today. And He still wants us to be in unity. And He still wants us to be what He wants us to be. Listen, unity at Drift Run Church is a necessity. It is one mind, one heart, and one mouth. Remember that. We need to speak in one mind, one heart, and one mouth. That's the message God has given me on that part of it. I love what Sean did because this is the second part of this for our church this morning. Drift Run Church must continue in loving and caring church. We must continue to do that. No way, shape, or form. I have preached against sin. Yes, I have. I have been hard. Have I not on some things? I have preached hard about some things. I have. There's no doubt my. And you know what? You know that's what the world tries to tell us is right today. And I will continue to stand up. I am not going to. I'm not going to back down on that. I will continue to stand up for what's right. And I will continue to do that as long as God gives me breath. But I will. The world tries to make it out like we have no compassion, that we have no love whenever we start preaching God's word and telling the truth. That's what they try to make it out. If we preach against sin, they say we have no love and compassion. But please don't misconstrue what I'm preaching about. Please don't do that. I love people. I love souls. And that could never be no farther from the truth if people say that I don't, because I really do. I love every soul that's out there. I love every soul in this church. I love people in your family. No matter what path they've went down, I love them all. And I want you to understand I do. And as a church, we should do the same. We should always love the individuals. No matter what's going on in their lives. Yes, they could break our hearts and go down paths that we would never expect them to go down. But you know what? We have got to love those people. I remember one time, I wasn't saved either. And you know what? God still loved Dave Long. He loved me when I was unlovable. And He loved you when you were unlovable. Do you know that? I don't care. You can say, well, I was a pretty good person. I don't care if you were lost, you were unlovable. Do you know that? I don't care if you never did anything bad in your life. If you were lost, you were unlovable. I'm here to tell you, let's don't categorize sin this morning. Let's love people. Let's do that. Sin is sin this morning. We try to do that sometimes, and we try to categorize things like that. There's no that way. I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus Christ died for those that died for the sinners. And praise God, I am thankful for that. We need to love. Sean said it best. He read the love chapter. But I want to read the last verse of that. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. And we know what charity. We know what charity speaks of. That's love. That's plain and simple. That's love. That's what it speaks of. The greatest thing that we can have as a church, as we continue to grow, and I believe we will, we need to continue with the love that Jesus Christ has spelled out here for us. 1 John 3:11-17. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. I hope you come here this morning with love for people in your heart. You know what? It's hard sometimes. I know. I know we, all of us can say that. It's hard sometimes to love people, is it not? It's hard sometimes to love those people that treat us bad. It's hard sometimes to love people that try to abuse us, and we can go right on down the line. It's hard. But I'm here to tell you, the only way that you can love the unlovable is whenever Jesus Christ is in your heart.
Amen.
That's the only way. Because you know what? If you try to do it on your own, you have the worldly love. And that worldly love is, I'm going to love them just as long as they love me, right? I'm going to treat them okay just as long as they treat me okay, right? That's not the love that Jesus Christ wants for us to have. We love. We love because you know what? Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother, wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's works were righteous. Marvel not, and Jesus threw this in here in the middle of this. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. Listen to me. They can misconstrue our love sometimes. They can misconstrue it. They can think that whatever we're telling them, you know what? You need to get right with Jesus. Or you know what? Or you know what awaits him. They can misconstrue that all they want to. But Jesus said right here, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. They're not going to like us for what we tell them sometimes. They're not going to like you. They're not going to like me if we tell them that they're living in sin. And that sin leads them from complete. If they continue down that path, they will not be able to be with God one day. They will not be able to be with Jesus. And they think that's not us not being loving. I'm telling you, I love them enough that I don't want them to go there. How about you? How about you? I love them enough that I don't want them to go there. You know, we know that we have passed from death unto life. Because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. How much plainer can that be for everybody in this church here this morning? You want a state of the church right there? Right there it is. If you want to know if you are saved here this morning, do you love the brethren this morning? Do you love people that are unloving this morning? Do you do that? If you want to find out if you're right with God, right there should tell you all that you need to know right there. Right there should tell you all that you... Whosoever hateth his brother, and he goes on to say this, is a murderer. And ye know not what murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Hey man, isn't that just straight to the point? I didn't preach it. The Bible did. Hereby we perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whosoever has this world's goods and seeth his brother has need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth, did you get that? How dwelleth the love of God in him? Wow. Wow. We must continue to be a giving church, amen? We must continue to be giving individuals. You say, well, why should I give to that? Listen, we must continue to give. The reason that this church is blessed here this morning the way that it is, and I've said this time and time again in this church, you look around you, we owe nothing in this church. Praise God. We owe nothing. And guess what? That's not bragging on me. That's not bragging on Greg. That's not bragging on anybody else in this church. It's bragging on God, because why? He has blessed us for being giving, a giving church. Being giving individuals. That's why I can say here this morning, praise God. 2 Corinthians 9:6, this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Man, what beautiful words. What's he trying to say to us? Listen to me. If you've got a giving spirit about you, God is going to bless you. As a church, as an individual, no matter if you have a giving spirit within you, and listen to me, that's hard for people sometimes. It's like, I don't want to give it up. I've told you this, and I mean this, and I sincerely mean this morning. When that offering plate comes around to you, and this is more than just money, but I'm going to talk about the offering plate right now, and you are grudging putting money in it, you might as well not put a dime in it. You might as well not put one single dime in it. He wants us to give willingly, of an open heart and of an open mind. How true. Why is the church, why is the church so blessed? That's why. That's why it is so blessed. Because of what I'm talking about this morning. Drift Run Church, this is my last point this morning. We must always stand up for what is right, for what the Bible says, no matter what anyone else may say. Will you agree with me on that this morning? I believe that wholeheartedly this morning. What this Bible stands for. I've preached this, I know, numerous times. You get tired of me hearing me say it, but I'm telling you this morning, we always have to stand on the truth of God's Word. Exodus 23:2, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. No matter what anyone around us might be saying, no matter what the church down the road may vote to do, no matter what the president and the leaders of this country may want to say, no matter what your family may say, no matter what we think in our own minds sometimes, listen to me this morning, no matter what they say, we must stand upon God's Word and hold it true. I'm telling you, we've got to do that as a church. We must continue to do that as a church. We are going to be under so much pressure, and we know that in the future, if God continues to let this world continue on down the path that it's on. This church, it started in our schools, it started around pressure to change and to get God out of it. Do you not think that one of these days, and you may think that, you may not think that, but one of these days, it is coming. It is coming to our churches one of these days. To where they're going to want to take out preaching about certain things. You can only preach about this and preach about that. Listen, we must hold true in unity that we stand on God's Word. No matter what happens, that we will stand upon God's Word. And we will always stand upon God's Word at this church as long as I can have breath to stand up here and preach God's Word this morning. I'm here to tell you right now, listen to me. The grass withereth, the flowers fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Matthew 24:35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. We know we're living in a day and age where they throw out all kind of doubts and confusion. Am I right? God's word is questioned almost. I hear God's word being questioned almost every day. Almost every day, questioning God's word. And it's hitting the churches hard. It really is. I think 2 Timothy 3 tells it best, especially verses 12 and 15. Turn with me and read them there, please. I believe this is important. 2 Timothy, and you know it's very familiar scripture, chapter 3, verses 12 and 15. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Listen to me. They're not talking about me teaching them to you. Do you understand that? Whenever he's saying this right here, but continue in things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them, he's talking about the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ showing these things to you. That's what he's talking about. Because if you learn them from the Bible and the Spirit and dwells them in you, you'll never forget those lessons. You'll never forget them. And that's what he's talking about there. And it goes on to say right there, and that from a child that has known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus, we must always stand up for what is right. Always. People, I'll tell you right now, you're going to come in contact with people almost every week. Surely, almost every month. Somewhere down the road, you're going to come in contact with somebody that's going to question. What's this Bible about? Why does it say this? Why is it not loving? Why is it this? Why is it that? Listen to me. Study to show thyself approved. Study to show thyself approved, because you know what? It's to 2 Timothy right here, the 3rd chapter, is talking about the last days. And brothers and sisters, we are definitely living in the last days. 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the works of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain. Folks, will you agree with me this morning? As a church, we must continue to be steadfast and unmovable. Will you agree with me that this morning? When it comes to God's Word, there is no compromise. No compromise. None whatsoever. I ask you this morning, that's my little state. I could go on and on and on about the state of the church. God has blessed us here. He really has. He's blessed me with the opportunity to be here at this church. And I will always, always hold Him up in the Most High for that. Thanking Him all every day for what He's done in my life. But I'm telling you right now, folks, listen to me. Be on guard. Be on guard. Because you know what? The devil does not like what's going on here whatsoever. I'm here to tell you, I've felt it. I know it. I've felt it in my life. I've seen it. And you know what? If we are not careful, if we don't continue in what we're talking about here this morning, you know what? He could bring it tumbling down very, very fast. One mind, one heart, one mouth. Amen?
Amen.
Will you agree with me to do that this morning? One heart, one mind, one mouth. And that goes from me down to these kids in here. It goes down to that. We got a very important ministry starting tonight. One mind, one mouth, one heart. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's come get a song, please.